Amen. Let's go to the Lord with me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, your kindness. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to share the good news, the gospel message of Jesus Christ, the good news that Jesus Christ came, he died, he rose from the dead, paying for the sins for all mankind, dear Heavenly Father. And I ask today that if there's somebody here who doesn't know you in the pardon of their sins, that they will come forward for their blessing and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would, please, turn your Bibles to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, the transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. The book of Acts, that energizing of the church, how God brought something that was unheard of in the Old Testament. It was always hidden in the Old Testament. And then God brought to fruition the church. And, you know, we drive by church buildings and we think, oh, it's no big deal. But you don't understand. This is the church. Amen. If you would, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 14. And we will be doing all of chapter 14, but we're just going to read the first three verses. The first three verses of Acts chapter 14, verses 1 through 3 in the King James Bible, and it reads, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Verse 3, long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by his hands." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today, if you would, we're going to, as a title, as a thought, something to put on the top of your minds. Living a life that gives testimony to the world of God's grace. Living a life that gives testimony to the world of God's grace. Let me explain. Why do we have to live a life that gives testimony to God's grace? Why is that so important to the church body? Because people can't see God. That's why. Give you an example. Have any of y'all, I know some folks in here got some affluenza going on. But has anybody here been to China yet? Anybody been to China? Of all days, Lee's not here. But nobody been to China. But do you believe that China exists? Yeah, made in China. China is real because I see the things stamped made in China. Now, I've never been to China, but I know they exist because I see the evidence of it. Have any of y'all ever been to the Ford assembly line up in Detroit? I haven't. Is it real? Every time I go out there and crank up that Ford, I know that Ford is real because I see evidence. Any of y'all ever seen God? But guess what? Nobody else has either. But how do we know he exists? You and I are the evidence. That's why it is so important. That's why it is so crucial that we live lives that are a testimony to those who don't know God, never had any relationship with God, and they don't even think he's real. We have to be the testimony, our lives. Our lives. People have to be able to look at you And don't say it's not about me. It is about you. People have to be able to look at you and look at me and say, you know what? I perceive they've been with Jesus. They ain't seen him. But there's got to be a testimony coming out of us. And it's so important. You can lose your money, you can lose your house, you can lose your car, but don't lose your testimony. It's hard to come by, saints. A good testimony is hard to come by. In this particular text, first thing we're going to talk about is how grace goes to work. Now, I said we want to have the world to see God's grace. What is God's grace? I need to define God's grace. God's grace is God's unmerited favor. God's unmerited favor. That means things that God does for you just because he's God. In the Bible, you see many instances of God's unmerited favor. One of the biggest, and I want to help my youth out, because as they learn these things, it should excite you. Because in the book of Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says that God looked upon the world and he felt bad that he even created people at all. Just how evil were the people that God looked upon? Think about this. The Bible says, God said, their every thought was wicked. God, you mean, didn't nobody say good morning? No! Their every thought was wicked. That means everything, that's not my commentary, that's God. And he's saying everybody who lived upon the earth at that time, everybody bar none, their thoughts were wicked. Now I'm talking to you about unmerited favor. And God purposed in his heart to destroy the earth with a flood. And then the scripture says to us, but Noah found favor with God. Well, maybe Noah didn't have wicked thoughts. That's not what it says. What he said was the thoughts of everybody was wicked. God didn't save Noah because Noah was good. God saved Noah because God good. God didn't save you because you good. He didn't save me because I'm good. We don't bring nothing to the table. Here's what we bring to the table. All my sin. That's what we add to the equation. And God saves us through his unmerited favor. It says, for God so loved the world that he looked upon everybody and saw who was good and kept the good ones and got rid of the bad ones. It's not what it says. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave. And when we start preaching that message and teaching that message and receiving that message the way we're supposed to receive it, then we will sing with great fervor, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Right now we just sort of, that saved a wretch like you. No, wrong song. A wretch like me. And when you understand it, when you apprehend it, when you really understand what we've given God to work with, then and only then will we be a true living testimony to the world. When the world sees how we deal with, we have the same issues in our families as the world. Lord knows we have the same issues in our own mind as the world. But when we get to the point where we sold out to God, we handle things different. We look at things different. We look at everything different, y'all. And that's one of the challenges, and we'll see a great illustration of that in this chapter 14. And we're going to do some real editing here, but I want you to get the essence of what's going on here. We are going to be talking about grace goes to work, misplaced praise, and grace does more abound. Grace Goes to Work, verses 1 through 10. Misplaced Praise, verses 11 through 19. And Grace Does Abound, verses 20 through 28. Because I want you to know that it's God's grace. We sing that song. It's God's grace. Grace take you a long way, but the thing about grace is it has to be apprehended. The thing about grace is you got to receive what God has given you. You can always turn your back on God. He's not going to turn his back on you. But when we receive that grace, we can do incredible things for the Lord. We can and will have a life that is a testimony to this world. They'll look at you and they'll look at your family and they'll say, man, you guys are really taking it on the chin. You guys, how are you not losing it? How are you not going out? This nonsense about people break into stores and things because they're poor. That's nonsense. Don't buy it. That's called psychobabble. That's nonsense. People don't break into stores because they're poor. They break into stores because they want to break into the store. Y'all don't believe that. Y'all have been so conditioned to think that, well, you know, because people are poor, that's why they're crooks. Then what about the rich guys who are crooks? Riddle me that one. Ain't they rich crooks? So why are they crooks? Because they're rich? That's, if you're going to use the mindset over here, you got to use the mindset over there. You have to be consistent. Well, I take that back. I said you have to be. No, only godly people have to be consistent. The devil ain't never got to be consistent. That's why he's the author of confusion, because he gives you stuff. He tells you one thing, and he just lies about everything. And y'all, and we just, oh, one. Let's get back to here. When you see this text, when it says that, go back up to verse 52 of chapter 13. Verse 52 of chapter 13 says a lot, and it lets us know how we got to chapter 14. These folks had just been ran out of town over here in chapter 13, but the last verse of 13 says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. I tell you, we learn how to go through trials and tribulations. We have to, because we want to be a testimony to God's grace. Here these guys had just been beat. They've been whipped and persecuted. But it says, but everybody had joy. Everybody had joy and filled with the Holy Ghost and ready for the next assignment, ready to go off and do what it is that God has next for them to do. And it tells you that they went and on the issue of our Jewish program and how do we reach the Jewish people, and how some people think that we don't need to reach the Jewish community. I've had preachers tell me what took place in chapter 13 is where Paul and his crew, when they got ready to leave, because the Jews persecuted them, the Jews ran them out of town, and they kicked the dust off their shoes. They said, since you don't consider yourself worthy of everlasting life, we're through with you. So I have preachers say to me, well, see, God's through with the Jews. Well, just go to chapter 14. Just keep reading. It says, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the what? The synagogue. Because God's not through. He wasn't through with the Jews then. He's not through with the Jews now. And he says to you and me, you bless them, I'll bless you. That ain't deep. Is that deep? That ain't deep. You bless them, I'll bless you. You curse them, I'll curse you. You don't need to go to 3 years, 4 years of seminary to understand that. Just read it and believe it. So they went and they preached. And it says, when they preached, a number of people came to faith, Jews and Gentiles. Understand, this is the first gathering in of the Gentiles into the church. The church is all coming together now, y'all. The Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah. God originally came to the Jews, but now he's bringing the whole thing all together. And it says that the Jews and a multitude, when they tell you a multitude, that's a whole bunch of people. Whole bunch of folks got saved. And why did they get saved? Because they're good? No. They got saved because of God's grace. Somebody spoke the good news. Somebody said, if you believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead, paying for your sins, you shall be saved. And those people said, what? And he said, you'll be saved. What does that mean? That means that when you die, you have a home with Jesus. You have everlasting life in heaven. That's good news. Because do y'all know how many people don't even know whether or not they're going to go to heaven when they die? Do y'all know there is a multitude of people who are, they say, well, you know, Pastor, I've been so bad. I've done so many things. Understand, you're in good company. And that's why they call it the good news. See, because you, and it's true, you have done some really abominable things. I have done some abominable things. But the good news is that if I believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, he rose from the dead, paying for my sins, he says, I will start. It's an inside job. He says, I will get on the inside. I put my Holy Spirit in you, and I will work it to the good for all those who love me and called according to my purposes. Will we have difficult times? Absolutely. Will we have some crying times? Yes, we'll have some crying times. But guess what? Don't you ever forget, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. Why would he tell you that? Because there's going to be times when you think, I am so alone. I ain't even got a shadow. But Jesus, the Holy Spirit, but God. He says, a multitude of people came to faith. And then, just and this is what happens on a regular basis, y'all. When all these people came to faith, guess what? Now trouble comes. See, that's why you don't believe them preachers who tell you, the minute you come to faith in Jesus Christ, happy days are here again. That's a lie. Don't you know the devil got years invested in you? Don't you know he's not like Christians? Christians fold up like cheap lawn chairs. Devil fight. Give the devil his due. Devil fight. He fight tooth and nail. He's taken so many of our young men. He's having them. They're killing each other. And then the ones that survive get locked up for the rest of their life. He's having a field day in our community. He's having a field day in our nation. And there's a solution. And his name is Jesus Christ. But where's your testimony? Do you understand? Do you understand when the angels came to Sodom and Gomorrah to get Lot and his family to take them out of Sodom and Gomorrah, do you realize he couldn't get his son-in-laws because they thought it was a joke? What do you mean? You ain't nothing. You don't know nobody. You don't know nothing about the Lord. They stayed because the testimony of Lot was so raggedy. Let that not be said about us, y'all. Well, I won't say that, because they're going to say it about you. Just don't let it be true. They're going to talk all about you. That's okay. That's okay. That's what they do. Just don't let it be true. Amen? So here trouble comes, and the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and the Jews, you know, start telling them, oh, that Jesus stuff, that's a bunch of baloney. Oh, that's, everybody knows if you don't work, you can't be saved. You got to go do something to please God that's going to make him. You got to go feed the hungry. You got to go help little old ladies across the street. You got to do this and you got to do that. You got to keep the Ten Commandments. What? You can't. You can't. But that's what they do. When somebody comes to you with the simple message of believe on the name of Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, all somebody has to do is come and get put in a little bit of doubt. And we start thinking, well, you know, I've even had intense fellowships with people talking about, well, you got to be baptized. I'm a Baptist, okay? I believe Baptist doctrine is true, and it's the best doctrine out there. Well, you know, but if you don't get baptized, me and my own earthly father, who's gone on to glory. Now he knows I was right. Oh, we had an intense fellowship. Me and my daddy said, if you ain't baptized, you ain't going to heaven, boy. I said, Dad, what about the thief on the cross? Don't get smart with me, boy. people in foxholes? Dad, what about people in the hospital? Dad, what about people who are so crippled up you can't put them in the pool? It's believe on the name of Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Don't complicate it. But once you do it, live it out. Once you believe on him, then you get baptized. Why? Because you believe what he said, not because it's going to save you. It's that life. That's the challenge for us. The challenge for us is to live a life that when people look at it, even with the flaws, the hiccups, the things that, when people look at you, and they look at you, and it's okay. It's okay. Everybody in who bought a new car or even a used car, you looked at it first, okay? No problem with you looking at a product that you say you're going to buy into. Your house, you looked at it first. So these people are unbelievers, and some of them are, well, I'm not sure. And so they say, wait a minute. I know Sally so-and-so, and I know Bobby this and that. I watch them because I heard them say that they're Christians. Or, you know what? I saw them, they were at the restaurant, and they all prayed. Now, I don't know if they're Christians, but I think they're spiritual. Hey, y'all, the fact of the matter is they're watching you. And our testimony has to be such that when they watch you, at some point they will approach you, possibly, and say, how do you do it? Why do you do it? And you let them know. You let them know it's because of Jesus. You let them know I've been redeemed. You let them know I got things going.